Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's fire in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because of the seriousness of the season, we can go home right now, but I just want to leave you with some serious breakthrough promises, words that the Lord has given. Amen? Amen. If I have the time to establish this morning from what happened last week, if you're following, you begin to find out that you have something to fight with based on the word of God. There's a parable that Jesus spoke that revealed that Satan's greatest nightmare is for you to take a hold of the word of God. It's the primary parable, the foundational parable, Jesus called it, of all his parables. It's called the parable of the sower. He says, when a sower sows, in that parable, he says, Satan comes for the word. For the word. Amen? And we're just beginning to learn the power in that word. So we're going back to that worship, the authority in that word. You know, if the Bible is telling you, God is telling you, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. And the word is God. What else do you need? All you need is you put your life in that word. Because that word is God. And what do you think the enemy will fight most for you to trust or to put your life in? The word. Because the moment you understand the word and God are one, you are a victorious man. Because anytime you obey the word, flesh will die, self will die, and you become more Christ-like. And the more you're Christ-like, the more you're an overcomer. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going back to that word. But let's go back to worship. I want to see something. We've gone through that word, worship. If you go, yes, that worship, that's what we're looking at. So today, I'm not going to mention this 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Worship is 7-letter word. Amen? Today, I'm just going to ask those who have been listening to tell me. So, how many people will be able to say, what is W? Who will tell us what W represents? Huh? Word. Okay. What does O represent? Obedience. Amen? What does R represent? Huh? Somebody say revelation. No. No, put that worship back. We're going to the acronym. So, you all remember W, the word. We've been doing this for a few weeks. O, somebody said obedience. What's R? Redeem. Amen. Redemption. We've been doing this for a few. Okay, I'll ask each R. Okay. S. Let's come to this. What does S represent here? Sonship. Everybody say sonship. Amen. What does H represent here? Heirs of the kingdom. Mary, are you happy your class a lot here? H. What does H represent here? S. H. S. Okay, I. You're right. What does I represent here? Huh? Inheritance. Great class. And P. No, I didn't ask you. What does P represent in this class? Huh? P. Let's ask this class. What does P? Presence. Amen. 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 This class won the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says whenever the word is preached, if it's just sown in our head. So when we live here, it says the buzz of the air come and take it away. Amen. That's why a few months before we ended last year, we started asking questions a little bit to see if we remember what the Lord shared with us last week. Amen. 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 So I just thank you all so much for remembering the word worship, seven-letter word that we're going to cover through at some point through this year. And we're moving very quickly so we can really allow these things to work in our lives. Amen. So last week, Evangelist Gary, man of God, was standing here, and the wife, woman of God, was standing here, isn't it? Amen. Tanya. How many of you remember the illustration? Oh, very good. What was the illustration about? Great. Amen. Who else remembers what it was about?
I was a doctor.
Yes. Good. She was a doctor. And a pilot. Good. Okay. So what was the pilot? What was the doctor and the pilot? What were we trying to achieve? Yes.
School.
Great. School. Okay. When they go to school, what happens when they are in school?
Testing.
Okay. They get certificate, they went to school. Amen. Thank you very much. Amen. Amen. Okay. Now, they were going to school. That's what we were. And the school has a purpose. The purpose for the doctor is to become a doctor, isn't it? After passing many tests. The purpose of the pilot is to fly plane, to become a pilot after they go through several tests. Amen? So when she becomes a doctor, what do you call her?
Doctor.
A doctor. Okay. When he becomes a pilot, what do you call him? You add the word pilot to his name. So there is a qualification. It's impossible for anybody to be a Christian that doesn't go through trials. Being a Christian does not mean going to church. Being a Christian is the word in the book of Mark called a believer. A believer is a Christian. Not every church, everywhere you see a sign, church, that means it's really church. It's a church where there are believers. You cannot be a believer if you have not been tested. Amen? So, we used human illustration. But what happened here, if you all go back to it, it's very important. We covered a lot last week, is to get us somewhere. What happened here is this whole place is Egypt, the world system, the world culture, and everything about Egypt and the world is what you can see, what you can do, what you feel, what you go through that is ruled by the spiritual world of Egypt. So God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. Instead of taking them to go through the ABC of other nations, life as always, he took them through a school called the wilderness to test them. Because they've lived all their life depending on what they see, what their work, everything they can do. Now God brought them to a school called the school of faith. Why is this school called the school of faith, the wilderness? Because it's the school where your dependency is based on the ability to stand on the word of God. The God has given promise. I'm going to bring you to a place of victory, a place of promise, a place of milk and honey. I'm going to give you everything I promise you as an inheritance. Promise. Amen? But to give them that promise, he didn't take them through other nations like the way the nations operate. One plus one, he didn't. He brought them through a school. We call it in the old Hebrew, we call it the wilderness. Why? He says, to test them. The first, you all saw, then they came through the test. But what will tell you that being in church doesn't make you a Christian is this. They came to the wilderness, God is there, the glory of God is there, the presence of God is there. And Moses went up to the mountain, the teacher. He went up to the mountain. He's the teacher, he's the one that God is using to disciple them. He went on, he wasn't there. So God wanted to see what is in their heart. What are they going to do if they are not in the church building? What are they going to do if they are given an opportunity to be in the presence of God? God is there. Do you know the first thing they did? They didn't know what to do without money. They've never learned how to live when they don't have money. Or if they have money, and money is not useful. Because there are two gods in this world. There is God, the Father, and Jesus says the other is Mammon. He exchanged Satan for Mammon. Because you don't see the devil, but he rules through money. So God brought them through the wilderness and says, I want to take away the use of money and let me see who they will turn to. So they didn't know what to do. So when they came to the wilderness, Moses wasn't there. They looked around, and the next thing that came out of their heart was to build the only thing they remembered in the world as God. And that was a golden calf. They established that. They started worshiping it. They started dancing around it. And then Moses came down. So they've already come out of Egypt. They've already come out of the world. But God wanted them to see there's a need for deliverance. Because what was in their soulish realm has not been transformed in the school of faith, school of the Holy Ghost. Amen? They created the God of the image of Egypt. And then God continued to test them. But in our own journey, Galatians chapter 4 talks about a school, you know, that though we are sons, but God, you know, we are heirs, but God is bringing us to the school where we can be tested. And God will determine when we can say, this is a doctor, this is a pilot. For a doctor to say I'm a doctor and a pilot to say I'm a pilot is the same way saying I can tell you I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. Amen? So without faith, you cannot be a Christian. Amen? So, having laid that foundation, let's see if we can mention something today. If we don't cover it. We started it last week when we used that school. You know, the doctors now become, they're able to practice. He's able to practice being a doctor. He's able to practice being a pilot. Christianity is a lifestyle of faith. Amen. To practice your faith under the systems of this world is what makes you a believer. So, here are some of the benefits, the foundational principles of a believer. We're starting with the word W, word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, John chapter 1, and the word was God. So here is a test God gave about standing on the word. We looked at it last week, Abraham, Romans chapter 4, verse 17. God told Abraham, he brought him out of the world, brought him out of Egypt, brought him out of the world after Babylon. So now Abraham was in his own school, and God told Abraham, you are going to be a father of nations. We talked about last week. So really quickly, Abraham started going to that school, and the more he was going in the school, the more Sarah's womb was dying. The more he was going into the school, the more he was getting old. By the time he got to this point of the school, he was like, I missed God. Why? Because Sarah's womb was dead. What was God trying to do? God was bringing him to the school of faith. So he became the father of faith. Romans 7. So what did Abraham learn in this school? When Abraham finally came to this point where he thought he was a failure, you know, he was a success because he had Ishmael, God says, no. Ishmael did not pass the test of faith. Ishmael is not the way the kingdom of God operates. Ishmael is the strength of your hand. It's a ministry you build. It's a system of the world in the church building something that is not kingdom foundation. It's just your way of doing it. Amen? But the things of the kingdom are established by faith. So God visited him at his corner and said, Sarah is the one that will give birth to my promise. Abraham laughed, just like I've done. How can this be? Sarah's womb is dead. God says, when it's dead, that's exactly the right time I begin to walk. Amen? Amen. So now, Sarah, God told Abraham, here's what you're going to do that probably Abraham didn't do. I want you to note this because that's where we're about to go. God changed his name. God changed his name. This is what it means. God told him, and you can see it in Romans chapter 4, verse 17. God told him, he said, now begin to speak what I promise you. If you believe, because Abraham believed, we read it. He says, but you're not speaking it. You're not declaring it. What I promised you. Romans 10:10 says, if you believe with your heart, you speak with your mouth, then you have it. It's a test of faith. So he told Abraham, now you believe, but you have to speak it. Because me, I speak things into existence. So if you're going to be my son, you do the same thing. So speak it. So from this level of the test, Abraham now started calling himself, I am the father of nations, even when Sarah's womb was dead. I am the father of nations. I am the father. He changed his name. Let me tell you, if you begin to pronounce what God tells you, speak it over and over, after a particular time, that thing will become what you know. That's the thing your mind will begin to tell you. For example, every time we cross the year, I always end up saying, oh, 2025. Because I was used to 2025 for a whole year. But after a while, after about getting to February, March, it's hard for me to say 2025 because now I'm saying 2026. Your mind, what you repeat, what you keep doing immediately corrects something that is already programmed in your system. So when Abraham says, I'm the father of nations, I'm the father, God made it his name so that he will change, transform, renew his thinking. Amen. Because all along he's been saying, I'm just a man, Abraham, I'm just, but not the promise. Whatever God promised you, you must make it your declaration. Amen. And it will come to pass. Amen. 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 Amen? Amen? The reason why Jesus endured the cross, the reason why Joseph endured his trials, is because he kept his eyes on what God promised and he kept saying it. He kept saying it. He kept declaring it. Amen? What I'm just telling you is exactly what I've done for many years. There are things God has spoken, there are things God has promised. In my personal prayer, that's all I speak. I speak it. If I don't have money, I speak into my account. I have money. If I can't pay a bill, all these years, if Man Zion can measure up, that's why we don't force people to do anything. We just keep speaking the promise. It will take time, you go through the testing, but it comes to pass. So, really quickly, today's scripture. Let's all open to the book of Ezekiel 37. We're going to read really quickly because of time. Really quickly, and then we're going to look at one more scriptures. And maybe we can go deeper into it next week. But watch this, Ezekiel 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me. How many of you know if you have the Holy Ghost, the hand of the Lord is upon your life? If you're born again. And carried me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. That's better than saying, I don't believe. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Amen. Wow. Wow. All ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. There is nothing, element God has not created that doesn't have ears to hear the word. Verse 5. Thus says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall what? Live. And I will lay sinews, I will put sinews upon you, and you will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Listen to this. God is raising Ezekiel in the school of faith. He says, Ezekiel, son of man, yes, we are born. But now Ezekiel is in covenant with God, child of God, a prophet of God, and God is now training Ezekiel ahead of time for what the sons of God needs to live like, the children of God. He said, Ezekiel, I'm putting my word in you. He said it to Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10. I put my word in you. And I'm giving you power to use my word to tear down, to cast down, to do this, to do that. So now he's practicing with Ezekiel. He says, Ezekiel, I put my word in you. Can these bones live? Dry bones, everything dry. Meaning the person is not only dead. Their bones are dry. They are beyond death. And God is telling Ezekiel, my word has the power to create. Amen. He did it in Genesis and he's not stopped doing it if there is faith attached to it. So Ezekiel, speak to the bones. But before Ezekiel can speak, he has to believe it. Do you believe? He says, God, you know. So then speak. The word prophesy is not imagination. Prophesy means what you believe God has promised you. If you believe it and you speak it, you prophesy. Prophesy means you're releasing, you are activating that thing to happen in your time. not yesterday with Peter and John. Now, faith. Amen? Amen. So the word prophesy is believing the word of God and speaking it out of your mouth. If you don't believe it, it will not work. So how do you know you believe it? You go through the testing process. God intentionally lets things delay to see if you believe it. Because what you believe can never change. Amen? Amen? Let me give you an example again of this test. Jesus gave us an illustration of faith. He says, I want to show you what it means when people believe something. Like he's saying with Abraham, with Ezekiel here. He said in Luke chapter 11, during the training for prayer, I said, let me tell you, prayer is one thing, but without faith, prayer is vain. So he said, let me give you the key to prayer. There is a guy, a man that has a need in his house. Somebody came at midnight and he knows where bread is. And he went to where bread is and he started knocking on the door for bread. And the person on the inside says, no way, we are sleeping. It's not going to happen. No way. There was a resistance because of the timing. And Jesus said this. God is saying this about prayer that mixed with faith. He says, the guy kept on until the person on the inside got tired and said, take all you want. The door opened. What is Jesus saying? First, you have a need. He says, when you come to knock on that door, you knock on that door because you believe the solution is there. The bread is there. If you know the bread is there, you not quit asking until you receive the bread. The only reason we quit is because we don't believe the bread is there. So he says he never gave up because he knew the bread is there. Then he used a similar one with a widow woman. The widow woman has an unjust judge, a wicked judge. And this woman was standing on righteousness. She knows she has the truth. We're going to get to that really quick. She knows she has the truth. She knows what she's asking the judge for is truth. She believes it. She has the right. And she's asking, and the judge is saying, no, no, no. He says the woman did not change course because she knows she has the truth. And the woman kept on until the judge says, I cannot anymore. The woman believed in the truth. And the judge gave up. And that's when Jesus said to them, he says, I'm looking for faith in the earth. Can I find faith? Faith is when you believe something and you put it in action. Amen? So in Ezekiel 37, God is now teaching us this aspect of the power of the word. God is saying to Ezekiel, I put my word in your mouth. I put my promise in your mouth. Me and my word, we are one. I can raise the dead. I can do anything. That's who I am. That's my word. If you believe it and speak it, you're just manifesting what I have promised. So Ezekiel obeyed. And then Ezekiel said, so verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And bones came together, bone to bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews, the flesh, the muscles, and then the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he to me, prophesy to the wind. Son of man, say to the wind, say, speak to the wind. And Ezekiel said, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon the slain that they may live. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army.
Very good.
Let me read this to you really quick for time. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. I'll read from verse 22. First, let's just read from verse 21. And Peter calling to remembrance, saying unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Jesus was going somewhere and he wanted to eat from a fig tree and there was no fruit. And Jesus looked at it and said, you will not have fruit anymore. He spoke something. So they were coming back and they saw that it has withered. So Peter was asking, Master, behold the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. Verse 22, listen to what Jesus said to them. Have faith in God. Amen. If you study that word, many people have read it. It's been preached all through generations. It's just saying, basically, just behave like me. If you're my son, behave like your father. Have God's faith. Represent God's word. So what did he say? Then Jesus explained. He says, this is what faith looks like when it comes to the word of God. He says, for truly I say unto you that whosoever means every believer. And actually whosoever, sometimes worldly people can speak faith and things come to pass. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. A promise. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. This sounds so easy, but it's not easy. It's a school of faith. It's a training for believers. So what is Jesus saying? Exactly what God said to Abraham to practice. God said to Abraham, God said it. You will be the father of nations. God has said it. What is God said to you that there is no way you can make it happen in your flesh? What is God promised in this word that relates to a need you have that you want the word of God to come to pass? Promises. So what God, using Abraham as an example, God gave him a promise and God noticed that Abraham has gone through all these years and the promise has not come to pass. So Abraham went back to the flesh and said, if I do it this way, it's going to happen. And let me tell you, a lot of ministries do that. We do make mistakes. There are so many Ishmaels who look like God. But what God calls ministry is Isaac, faith. So Abraham learned for our own lesson. And now God said, Abraham, let me teach you how I do things. Because you're my son. And you will be the example to generations to come how they should do things in the earth. So he said, Abraham, begin to call Sarah's womb alive. Begin to speak, because her womb is now a mountain. A mountain is something that has been established to be unmovable. It says you can speak it and the things will move. A dead womb can never give birth. That's a mountain. A paralytic, a blind person can never see. That's natural. But it says, begin to say what I have promised. Promises I was spoken it. So Abraham started saying, I am the father of nations. Amen. By saying that, he's saying to Sarah's womb, Sarah, you will give birth. Your womb will come alive. You will give birth. And Sarah kept getting older, dying more. The stomach was dying more. But he kept repeating. Why did God change his name? So that he would be hearing it every day. Because what you see has so much power. What you see is what you believe. So it's hard for us to apply faith. So you have to keep saying it. So Abraham kept saying it and kept saying it until Sarah, miracle took place. Sarah gave birth at the age of 89 to a child because of promise spoken from someone. All through the Bible, there are things like that. So I want to summarize by... We have to get back to this next week. I'm trying not this is a school. This is so important. So we don't want to rush it. But what we will close with today is this. In life, in this world, you have to separate between facts and truth. Fact and truth. Facts is everything you see, you know, in this world is real. Facts are the reality of this world. You cannot deny facts. If a doctor tells you this sickness will kill you, from everything they've studied, is a fact. Don't challenge it. It's facts. It will kill you. It will do exactly what the doctor says. Because they've studied it, they have experimented it, they know that's how the human body works. It's a fact. If you don't have money in your bank account, and you don't have a job and you can't pay your bill, that's a fact. You're bankrupt. You can't pretend about it. It can jeopardize your integrity. If you are going through, no matter what the situation is, like the war going on in Iraq, anything happening, the systems of this world, everything that you can add 1 plus 1 that you've lived, they are facts. Now, the truth I want to talk to you about is not the truth where Steve goes to Walmart and sees a situation that is bad and somebody else comes and says, no, that did not happen. Steve said, no, I saw it. Steve said, I'm telling you the truth, I saw it. And they go to court, and Steve comes to be a witness. I saw this, and Steve tells the truth, and those people were lying, and the judge says, Steve was telling the truth. That's not the truth I'm talking about. That truth is still the fact of life. We call it being honest. The truth I want to share with you today, to separate the facts of life, or what we call truth in our modern day, from the word of God, which is truth. Can you put John 17:17 on the screen? Let's see. John 17:17 says, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is what? Truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Potiphar asked a question. Pilate said to Jesus, what is truth? Sanctify them by thy word, which is truth. My brothers and sisters, what Jesus is saying here is, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. Amen? So now Jesus says, how many of you remember last week that Jesus is the Word? Huh? And is the Son of God. So if the Word is Jesus and Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus says, I am, John 14, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am life. These three things are not, they are spiritual. The way, the only way that leads to heaven is the truth. The only truth, life, eternal life, Zoe. That's what Jesus says I am. So when we're talking about truth, he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So Jesus is saying, I am truth. So what does truth mean? The word and truth are one. So facts are realities of life. But truth is internal. Truth is the word of God. Amen. It can never change. Amen. It will never change. Truth is internal. That's the word of God. It's the word of truth. Amen? Amen. You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, which is the word of God, which is Christ. Why am I saying all this? Because when Sarah's womb is dead, that's facts. You cannot deny it. It's human. When Lazarus was dead, that's facts. But when truth said, Lazarus will live again, it's finished. When truth said, Sarah will give birth to Isaac, it's finished. Because truth and the word are one. Truth can never change, but truth can change every situation. The truth will make you free. So, we want to close today by, we're going to come back. Because we are living in a time where God is going to shake everything. It's already started. You better wake up and be prepared. Jesus says he will shake everything that is built on facts and lies. We'll get to it. Facts compared to truth is a lie. If God is telling you, Gideon, mighty man of valor, and you are a wimpy in the corner running, the truth is what God sees. Fact is what you're dealing through. I feel this pain. I'm going through this. You don't know how I feel. This thing is real. This sickness is real. This pain is real. The way I feel is real. My bank account is real. Facts, correct, it's real. But the only way you can get out of it is through the truth. The truth will set you free. The truth will heal you. The truth will deliver you, because the truth and God are one. And God can change any situation if you believe in the truth. I was going through something, and I were planning this thing, and everywhere I go, I'll have an excuse from this leader. We can't make it. I have a different program. And we're trying to mobilize people to come to Washington, D.C. for this. I will call this leader and say, we have a program. I will call this. So I went to God and I said, you said we should organize this big meeting. And all these leaders are busy. They are busy. It's like God says, speak. Summon them. If I've told you to do it, summon them. So I went to prayer and I started calling each leader by name. I said, come to this. I was speaking it. You're coming to this program. You're coming, you're coming, you're coming. I cancel anything that is not of God, that is keeping you. Now, I'm just saying it, not just to give you an example. I cancel anything that is not of God. I'm not saying God cancel what God has planned for them. But if it's not of God compared to this program, God rearrange it. Every one of them called back and said, sorry, I made a mistake. We're coming to the program. That's how we succeeded. We didn't have any money, but we're speaking it. We're calling it. We big project, big money, that's when I learned. We're talking about faith. This building you see, we're in a small building there, and God told us he would give us a place, and we started praying into it and thanking God and speaking it, and it took a long time, took a few years, until the year before, the Lord reminded us, and all the prayer team were praying, and we're speaking it, and the next thing, we're here. Hallelujah. Not paid a dime for it. I have had all kinds of pain, illnesses. I've tried everything I can try. I've even gone to the doctor, checked. Finally, God says, speak. Believe and speak. And I started speaking. I started worshiping. And things changed. For better. You can change anything with the truth. If you believe it. For all things are possible to them that believe. So today, I want to challenge you. Whatever you're going through, whatever looks impossible, First of all, believe that God can change it. The word of God. Then take a promise that God has made and begin to speak that promise to that situation. If it's whatever, say, I can walk, I can breathe, I can this, I can do that in the name of Jesus. If you take that therapy every day, it's not, you are speaking to the mountain. And before you know it, you wake up one day, that mountain has moved. I can give you testimonies. That's the only way I've known. It works. Amen. Let's stand up together. Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible. Only believe. Only believe. Oh, shebrata kabada. Hey, that all things are possible. My brothers and sisters, let me tell you, it's not like God cannot lay hands and heal you. But if you go to school, it's so that you become the one that God used to bring healing to you, and now God starts using you as a vessel. We saw things happen. God is training you to be the miracle hand of God. Not always the one that receives. That's why we're going to school. God can heal you now, and you continue in your comfort. But he's training you to exercise faith. Amen. On your own. When you taste it, you start liking it. It's not easy. I don't like not to have money in my account. It's very uncomfortable. But when God gives the miracle, I fall on the floor. I say, oh my God, you are here. Yes. Only believe. Only believe. Oh, that all. Only. Only believe. Yes. Only believe that all things. Only. If you mean it now, say it. Lord, I believe your word. Hey, Lord, I believe your truth. I believe your word that all things are possible. Chere Baba. Lord, I. Let's say it again. Lord, I. Manga Sarabade. Lord, I believe. Oh, that all is possible. Jesus, Lord, I. My brothers and sisters, when you are saying these things, you're thanking God, you're confessing, when it looks like there's a delay, go back and see. Everywhere there's a delay, there's a greater miracle. Because what God has spoken never returns until it's performed. Father, you are looking for believers, not churchgoers. 12 believers changed the world. Father, raise up believers in Zion. Raise up believers. You said signs and wonders follow those that believe. Father, we thank you. We thank you. You said the shaking will come. But everything that is built not on faith, Father, you said they will be shaken. I pray in this season, in this day, that Father, you will cause believers to stand. Yes. on this solid rock, on your word, on your promise, and not be afraid.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you.
Raise up believers.
Amen.
We believe your word.
Amen.
We believe your promises.
Amen.
You've done it before. You provided for your people. You saved your people. You delivered your people. For by faith, no man. Thank you for believers. Thank you for a faith-filled believers. Thank you, Father. Raise up faith in us. Awaken faith in us. Make us believers again. When we leave this place, Father, give us that conviction to stand on your promise. That we will come back in 2 days, in 1 day, in a month, and say, you know, I took that word serious. I went and started standing on your word. And today I've come to let you know that you are still the same yesterday, the same today. And today I have my miracle. Father, we thank you. Do we this for your name's sake. Do it this for your word's sake. Do this to awaken expectation and faith in your people again. And to you alone will be all the glory, all the praise and all the honor. And we thank you for it. And every believer says amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. You can be seated. Amen.
Amen.